There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
An Erio's original.
To me, that's like what's true horror is like when you're stuck with things you can't sell.
The true horror.
Hi, this is Margaret Cho. You're listening to The Margaret Cho. Today, we have Luke Barnett, Tanner Thompson, and Vincent Maschial. They are from the film Faith-Based, which is an amazing comedy that I'm in. It's an indie comedy that is all about the world of Christian filmmaking, which is really funny. The film is out October 9th on all sorts of streaming platforms and maybe in a theater near you, depending on what's happening. But interviewed them, and they're great guys. So enjoy. Hi, you guys.
Hey, Margaret.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
Hi. Thanks for being on this. And I haven't gotten to see the movie yet. I've, of course, seen the trailer, which looks great.
Oh, and, thank you.
I can't wait to see the whole thing. Now, are we going to be able to get together for a huge premiere? What's going to happen? I mean, it's kind of...
No, we hope so.
Yeah.
Well, we're definitely going to do some big stuff for the next 4 weeks and then do something the weekend it opens. We're just trying to figure out if we could do, we're hoping for a drive-in premiere right now.
Well, that's a good idea.
Which would kind of be the way to do a big premiere while abiding by the rules. So we're kind of holding off till we hear on that.
Yeah, I love a drive-in movie. I've always really enjoyed that. I used to actually go to drive-in movies, and I mean, I remember that from being a kid, and it's actually a great experience to do, and I love that it's kind of back now. So that's a good idea.
I just took my kids to see Goonies a few weeks ago, and it's you know, I remember going to see movies in the drive-in as a kid, and I remember the crappy speaker box in the corner, and you can barely hear it, and the picture quality wasn't great. They made a lot of improvements. It's actually super fun, so I don't think it would be a lesser than experience to see Faith-Based in the drive-in, especially because, you know, it's a fun movie and it's funny, and, you know, it's all kind of a brand new territory since no new movies have really been in drive-ins in years. Really? So,
no, I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea. And I think it's going to be fun. I mean, it's going to be fun no matter what. I think, it's exciting because, and it's also just a whole new territory for a movie anyway. Like, I was the first, this is like the first time I had ever heard of Christian movies outside of something like Jesus Christ Superstar or anything like that. I mean, I didn't even know that anything like that existed. You know, all of that, you know, to me was very, it was a really eye-opening experience. I mean, how did you figure out about this whole world, or did you grow up in it? How did you find out about it?
We all grew up in it. We were all three raised in the church and spent a lot of time in churches throughout like our teens and 20s. And so like faith-based films is something like, I, at the very least, I was super familiar with back in the 90s.
Yeah, it was interesting. I had a lot of friends One of the things that inspired this movie was way back in like late 90s. I had a lot of friends that played in bands in high school that were very talented and then didn't have any real success. And then a few years later decided to be a Christian band. And all of a sudden we're making six figures, touring Christian music festivals and playing mega churches and Christian colleges. And that was just such an interesting thing. And probably like early mid 2000s, that really started to take off in the Christian film world, where all of a sudden you had these like a handful of filmmakers with Kirk Cameron and Kevin Sorbo and a few other people started making these movies that they would essentially get funded by a church. Like there's a handful of churches that kind of originally did this on a bigger level. And they would make these kind of low budget Christian movies starring a 90s actor, and churches would essentially get their entire congregation to go see this movie. And at the time, weirdly, my dad was at a church who did this. So they would basically have a movie coming out to AMC, rent out the theater, take a van of congregation and go see it. And all of a sudden, this movie that was shot for a couple hundred thousand dollars makes $30 million. And the movie itself, if you watch it right now, it's by no means a good movie. But it's what those people wanted to see and don't have, you know?
Yeah. And back so in, back in, I don't know, 2016, 2017, the three of us had just finished making a horror comedy called Fear Inc. And, you know, Luke and I had been out pitching projects, TV shows, and movies after that movie. And what we thought was going to happen is we were going to jump into a room and sell a movie. And what ended up happening is we just pitched a bunch of stuff and kind of set some things up, but nothing ever really got any major traction. And I don't remember after the like 30th meeting or something, at one point Luke was like, you know what we should do? We should just make a faith-based movie because those make a lot of money. And we laughed at that.
And used that money to make our other projects. Yeah,
at that point, we thought, that's actually a really funny idea. And we had originally developed faith-based into a TV series, a pitch. And we kind of took that out a couple times. And we had the first season. We loved the first season. And we couldn't really get super excited about seasons after the first season. And that's when we, you know, at the end of 2018, early 2019, we're like, what's a project that we can do? And we thought about faith-based, and we're like, why don't we take that season one and adapt it into a 90-minute feature? And that's kind of how that came together.
It's so funny. And I think that it's such a great thing, like to take that world and kind of open it up to an audience that really we just don't know about it. You know, I mean, I definitely know a little bit about, I guess, Christian rock or like the 90s entry into it. Like I know a little bit because I like the, you know what band I like? I like Stryper, which is a metal Christian
band.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Stryper with a Y.
Yes. I like them. But I like them kind of secretly. I also secretly like Creed. I can never really.
Everyone sang along with Creed in 1999.
No secret
undeniable
to liking Creed in the 90s. We all liked Creed in the 90s.
It's very embarrassing because I actually really, like, I would spend some time as, like, a rock journalist and, like, have some serious, like, very, like, deep, like, cuts in terms of, like, my rock taste. Like, I really take it very seriously, but it's like some of my most embarrassing like things that I like are like in that sort of Creed genre, that Stryper genre, that kind of Hillsong stuff.
Oh my God. Not many things make me laugh. Knowing you as a comedian, not many things make me laugh more than you in like a van in the 90s, tatted up, singing with arms wide open at the top of your lungs.
It's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. But it's definitely like a part of me that I can't deny. And so, but there is like a section of like, I think there is something to it. There's a lot of greatness there. There's a lot of great talent people who kind of turn to those arenas when they can't sort of break sort of mainstream markets. They go, oh, well, actually, I could go here and work. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff. There's a huge market there that people don't even realize. And comedy, too. There's like a big like Christian comedy circuit of like people who go and like do comedy shows at churches.
Yeah. Well, they pay incredible money. Like it's like these. My sister actually works at a Christian college, and they get, you know, different acts there every week. They have a whole, you know, there's a, like any college, there's a group that books the talent, and Christian colleges are no different, but that market is much more niche. And so when somebody can kind of become a clean comedian that can, you know, play all these Christian colleges, or a band that can play a mega church that has, 40,000 members, it's like there's a real way to make a living there where it can be a lot more difficult in the mainstream world.
Well, the interesting thing is you mentioned, Margaret, there are clearly some pretty decent Christian bands, and there are some pretty decent Christian stand-up acts and comedians. That talent, as far as we know, hasn't really traveled over to the faith-based cinema market. And that's why we were excited to make this movie, because it's like it's really hard to find a faith-based movie that's halfway decent. Most of them are, I mean, we haven't watched all of them, but we definitely watched a lot of trailers and we watched a lot of movies leading up to making this thing. And it's like, it's pretty scary. It's pretty scary to watch these things.
Well, the film is, I mean, I haven't seen the film, but of course I've read the script and it's really funny. The thing about it is that it's not like the films that you're talking about, because it's actually quite a cynical film. You know, it's really closer to something like, these sort of like very sort of great indie comedies of the 90s talking about filmmaking, as opposed to, you know, those films that are sort of made by Kirk Cameron or Kevin Sorbo. You know, it's definitely like a very funny kind of take on filmmaking that is much more, it's smart, and it's really like, let's see what we can do in this arena, as opposed to like a Highway to Heaven kind of approach. You know, it's not like Della Reese and not like Michael Landon's take on it. You know, it's very different.
It's also one of the things I've always had a problem with so many of these faith-based movies, even the ones that are kind of what some would consider the better of them, is that because they're trying so hard to make sure they don't alienate their church audience, they can't write or portray people as real people. Like, you can't, if you do that, the movie's going to be R, and then they're not going to hit that audience. So if they want to portray real people, real people curse, real people die at the end, real people do these things, real people do drugs, you know, all these things that the church wouldn't get behind. And so many of these movies are desperate to not alienate that audience that they don't make it ever feel real. And so with this movie, it's like, we're not even when it's not mean-spirited or anything, it's like, I hope that these characters talk and act like real, relatable people do.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing that's like also important here is like, for anybody who's listening, like we are not hating on these films, these sort of generic Christian films. I mean, certainly poking some fun at it, but it's like, you know, the people, like you're talking about, not putting like real people, you know, in some of these films. Like no more than like a month ago, my sister got to talk to me about this new series she heard of called The Chosen, which is like the highest crowdfunded thing of all time. And certainly it's a series about the life of Jesus. My best friend in Oklahoma City donated to another sort of Christian film organization. And so it's like, you know, these people are looking, they're absolutely looking for this content, especially like in the family friendly world. And so I get it. You know, we all kind of look for something that reinforces our own worldview in some form or fashion. And hopefully some of those people, if they're listening right now, hopefully some of those people will, give ours a go. And maybe it won't be exactly like a lot of those Kirk Cameron films, but I think it'll also open their eyes a little bit.
But it shows that you can be a person of faith, but you don't have to be stupid. You don't have to be blind. You don't have to be a person without taste. You know, that there's like something there that is like, you know, like you can still have a sense of humor. You can still have a sense of like, oh, well, I don't have to like blindly just like something just because, like, you know, there's something about it. Like, I always get really, I think it's so ridiculous when certain people sort of like think that Christianity or the idea of religion is being dumb, because it's actually not. I think it's for people who are either raised, like, you know, like I was raised in a very religious community too, but my family all left the church because in Korea, they all like emigrated to the United States, and then they all pooled their money together in the Korean churches. And so instead of investing in or like putting their money in banks, and in 1978, somebody stole all the money in the Korean church in San Francisco. So everybody left the church. So it was like such a huge scandal that everybody wanted to like get out of the church, because like we're like all turning our back on the church because it's like all, it's not satanic, but it's like obviously somebody's greed got in the way of it. So everybody kind of left the church just because somebody got really greedy and stole all the money.
Wow.
And so that was kind of more of the reason why I think that everybody decided to leave. So that was kind of like the reason my family got out of it. But it was something that I was sort of raised with and then suddenly like pulled out of. Mm-hmm. So it was a very weird, I have a weird experience with it. But I always sort of looked kind of fondly at it like, oh, that would have been nice, you know, to kind of like stay in it, and it would have been cute. But then like, yeah, it's funny.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's one of the things in, I mean, there's aspects of, I think, you know, any form of, I think there's aspects of it that are all about community, no matter what your specific belief in terms of like one of the things people flock to when it comes to religion. It's like, even in this movie, it's like one of the two characters, like Tanner's character, ends up by no means all of a sudden becoming a Christian or something, but he finds something as they're kind of diving into the church for negative reasons. He sees the benefit of this large group of people that hang out and support each other and all that stuff. And so, you know, beliefs aside, I can very much see what the attraction is for a lot of people just based on the community aspect.
Yeah. And the three of us, even though we kind of grew up with similar faith backgrounds, I feel like we've all, you know, Tanner and Luke and myself have all sort of kind of taken different paths in terms of faith and religion, spirituality in general. And we didn't set out to make a faith-based film by any means. We just wanted to make a movie that just started a conversation about what it's like to find your purpose and how, you know, these two characters interact with a faith community and how some people, and it doesn't matter what faith or anything in general, some people will believe in things blindly without really thinking about it or doing the research or just because somebody else told them. There's a whole pyramid scheme parallel storyline in this movie that, you know, we put in there intentionally because that's really what we wanted to do, was just kind of start a conversation as opposed to saying, this is bad, you shouldn't believe in this, because, you know, what do we know? We're a bunch of idiots over here. Yeah. Just
we don't know.
There's always like some kind of an MLM happening too. Like if there's like something going on, there's always some kind of weird MLM involved, and it's super weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the funniest thing. So many people I know from back home that I knew from church or youth group back in high school and junior high are the ones who I see on Facebook all the time now posting their pyramid schemes. And part of that is because, you know, the two biggest people who are into pyramid schemes are people that are heavily involved in the church and single parents. And that's obviously because or stay at home parents. And that's because they have a lot of time to do that. And the people at the church have this built in, you know, thousands of people community that they can go to for their, to build their
that network
up. And that's just, that was such a funny thing for us to put in the movie where it's like my character's just fully believes blindly in this, CEO of a pyramid scheme and sees him as kind of the ultimate, like he needs to get there. And if he does these things, he's going to get there. And it's very much ties into a lot of the other topics of the movie, which was really fun.
It's so scary though. Like those pyramid schemes are so weird, like, because they start off, they're sort of like the kind of like start off with sort of these relationships where you know, and then they're like, what's your social security number? Like, it's always very like, you ask a question about, oh, like, you have really nice skin, and it's like, what's your social security number?
Yeah.
And it's always like one thing leads to another, and it's like this very, like, very fast track to something. And it, oh, yeah, they always sort of make it seem like, oh, it's going to be easy to make this money. All you have to do is tell two friends, and then they tell.
Oh, yeah. My favorite thing is like what I'll see is I'll see on Facebook and sometimes this will be, and this is a parallel right with the movie. You know, the weight loss teas, that's like a real thing, or like the fad diets, you know, we see those all over social media every single day. And what you'll see is you'll see somebody who has had some success with this thing, not saying you can't lose weight with the weight loss tea, but there are obviously lots of other components. And you'll see a photo of this person and their dramatic weight loss. And you're like, oh, good for them. I'm really happy for this person that I know to lose this weight, or my neighbor, I'm not going to say her name. And then it always includes, like, to find out how I did this, contact me now. And I'm like, oh, you got to hear the sales pitch. There you go.
If you're not listing the product or the service in your Facebook post and it's very ambiguous, that's a pyramid scheme. That's a clear yeah. sign of a pyramid scheme.
And now there's ones that have kind of done what these faith-based filmmakers and faith-based bands and faith-based comics have done. And now there are literally faith-based pyramid schemes. I know a girl who literally sells this brand that claims to be, I'm not joking, you can look up LuLaRoe. LuLaRoe is Christian yoga pants. And this is just like doing a Tupperware party, where this girl brings basically a trunk load of Christian yoga pants. And if you support it, some of the money goes to this Christian organization. And it's essentially, if you get more people to sell, it's a literal pyramid scheme of Christian yoga pants. And that was the moment where I was like, this has jumped the shark.
You can vinyasa your way right to heaven with those pants.
It's so weird though, because it's really being sold to the people who believe that they're selling, because they believe that they're buying inventory so they can sell it to other people, but then they get stuck with the inventory. That's really the trick of the pyramid scheme, is the people that are actually like consigning to sell are the ones buying. That's the,
oh yeah,
the tragedy of it.
Well, I remember when a huge article came out I don't know, handful of years ago, about Herbalife and the biggest, and how the majority of people that are becoming sellers in the pyramid use over half of their life savings. And what happens is they use the majority of their life savings, they get a garage full of stuff, they can only obviously sell to their closest friends and family, and then when it stops at that point, they then have a garage of, you know, $10,000 worth of stuff that Herbalife won't buy back. And so it's like, there's a documentary about it now where it's ruined people's lives, because these people that are in their mid 40s or 50s that have been, you know, trying to do what they can for 20 years, all of a sudden are just wiped out with all these weight loss products. And it's just, it kills people.
It's the horror. That's a scary thing. I mean, that's like a horror. It's a horror element of the thing of, like, you know, it's really terrifying. I think that that's sort of the horror component, but you come from a horror, you're coming from a horror standpoint anyway, because you sort of like from the horror genre too, right? Because you guys made horror films before, so it's kind of got a horror element in that. To me, that's like what's true horror is like when you're stuck with things you can't sell.
True horror,
yeah,
that's true horror terror. But this movie is very, I think everybody wants, this is the movie that you can sell because everybody wants to see it. I can't wait to see it. I think it's very exciting.
Thank you.
So nice.
Well,
you're
amazing in the movie too, Margaret. We're like so thankful that you came out and shot with us. And the fact that, first of all, I think you had heard about the movie before we contacted you, which is insane, because this is an independent film, and for anybody to hear about an independent film is a miracle in and of itself. So the fact that you heard about it was pretty cool. And you're fortunate enough to be in one of the more memorable scenes of the movie, because you play the executive that kind of spells out to Luke and Tanner what the rules are of the faith-based film industry. And I can't tell you how many people and reviews and comments have specifically mentioned that scene or quoted you directly, because you've got some really – I mean, you've seen the trailer. You're all over the trailer.
Yeah, that's so cool.
It's such a fun scene.
I need to get a subscription to that subscription service.
PureFlix?
I mean, I really – yeah. I think it's like a very appealing thing. They should probably I bet they do like a good like maybe a big like Easter week Passion of the Christ, a whole bunch of different Passion
of the Christ. A marathon of Passion of the Christ.
A whole bunch or a whole bunch of like different Passion plays. You know, I bet they have a million of them.
Here's the best part is like we had before. Right now, the movie that we're making within the movie is called A Prayer in Space, and it's a fictional sci-fi film about the first prayer ever to be prayed in space. But before we decided to do that, we originally wrote in the script the movie they were going to make within the movie was called Angel on a Farm. And Angel on the Farm was about a city girl named Roxy who gets into trouble with the law, has to go live on her grandfather's farm, where she meets a talking horse named Angel who teaches her that there's a better purpose in life. And it was, I don't remember if it was shortly before or after we switched it to A Prayer in Space, we realized that PureFlix, the real company that ChristFlix is inspired by, has a movie that is almost the exact same plot. The horse, the only difference is the horse in their movie does not talk, but it is literally a girl getting in trouble and going and living on this farm and falls into friendship with an old horse. And I was just like, this is too real.
Oh, that's amazing. That's so great. I love it. It's so great. Cool. It's so good. I mean, I think that there's probably a million great movies. I mean, a lot of movies, like a new era that's going to be born out of like coronavirus. I mean, I wonder like what this whole thing is going to like bring forth. Like, if there's going to be a lot of like anti-masker movies, like a whole like generation of coronavirus contagion, anti-masker kind of I don't know. Conspiracy movies.
It's going to be like the movie The Purge, but everybody's running around trying to give someone a vaccine to make sure they get it.
Some kind of like, I feel like there's going to be some kind of rapture kind of anti-masker, anti-vaxxer mashup kind of movie. Are you working on your next?
We saw a poster for a movie recently that was called, I forgot what it was called, but it was basically a fictional narrative movie where they had basically made it about Trump as this kind of like incredible world leader. It was like fan fiction about Trump, and they got a whole bunch of people from Jerry Falwell's Liberty University to fund the movie, and they made it. And so there's this movie that's essentially Donald Trump fan fiction coming out, and that makes me think that there will be stuff from these same people that are their various takes on the mask world and all those things and the conspiracy theories, and who knows what people will crowdfund after this.
Who knows? I feel like this is all foretold in The Omen 3. I don't know if you ever heard of the Omen trilogy, but The Omen 3 has Sam Neill. Well, Damien grows up and becomes president, and he's played by Sam Neill.
Oh my God, I did not know this.
That's amazing. That's an anti-faith film. I've never even heard of that. I didn't know that existed.
It's an anti-faith based film. It's very I like it. I like The Omen franchise. I like all of those very like 70s franchises. All of The Exorcist 3 is actually very good too. with George C. Scott. But it's the three is always the best one of all of the horror franchises. Is there is there another? What is your next film going to be? Are you going to continue making films? Are you going to go into TV? What are you going to do next?
Oh boy!
I mean, we're working on one right now that we want to do next, which is. It's essentially two guys on a road trip with a talking robot, and it kind of has aspects of Pee-wee's Big Adventure and aspects of Calvin and Hobbes, and it's just kind of this what's real, what's not sort of robot adventure is what we're working on now. But we're definitely open to TV and obviously.
That's great.
Speaking of pandemic ideas, this was sort of born out of like, okay, what could we go do that we enjoyed from Faith Base that, you know, stars Luke and Tanner and as different characters, not has nothing to do with Faith Base, but what's a smaller movie that we can go make in terms of, crew and executing, but maybe is kind of bigger on scale in terms of like kind of, it's a road trip movie. So it feels a little bit bigger than faith-based, but it's, you know, you mentioned you're curious what's coming out of this season. It's like, I'm curious what the next wave of movies is going to be and TV shows. Cause filmmakers have to be creative on how they're going to shoot things moving forward. So this was one of those for us is like, what can we go do if we don't get the green light to do another, you know, 60 person movie or whatever. So,
yeah. But I think that's great. I mean, I think that indie film is so important, and I always really pay attention to it because I that's where I come from, and I've always really admired people who, you know, take the initiative and make movies and you know, do their own thing, and I always really love the auteurs. You know, it's really always very important to keep that spirit up, no matter kind of what happens in film. They always have the best vision, you know, so it's always really exciting. So you guys are doing great.
Well, it was so cool that you came out and did it. I will never forget when your manager, Sarah, called me and told me you were in. It was just, we were all like super excited because we're all fans and it was the same way with Jason Alexander, where we're like, there was just certain people we kind of felt like, all right, we have time. Let's just take a shot. And if it happens, it happens. And all of a sudden she called me back and it was just like, whoa, she's in. And it was just, it was the best. So
yeah.
So thank you so much.
So thank you.
Mermaid.
Yeah.
So where can people find out about where they can see the movie? Where can they find out about you guys online? What are your handles, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, what are we? We're at the Faith-Based Film on, I should know that off the top of my head.
Faith-Based Film on Instagram. And if they go to faithbasedmovie.com, they can basically find all the details. The movie comes out October 9th. Right around the corner. It's going to be in select theaters, depending on what that means in 6 weeks. And then obviously anywhere you can rent or buy a movie online. So VOD, digital, Apple TV, all that's Amazon.
You'll know you're in the right spot when you start seeing neon green. That's something we've really latched on to. It's on all of our socials, all the movie profiles everywhere, the poster. Which, Margaret, you're in the poster. Have you seen the poster?
Yeah, I love the poster.
Yeah. Well, these two guys in the movie are, as we talked about, are making a movie called A Prayer in Space, and for some reason they feel like they have to wear green screen suits all the time. So we kind of ran with that in terms of everything marketing and branding for the movie. So green on the poster, green in the trailer. We made green hats when we premiered at Santa Barbara at the beginning of the year. These guys showed up on the news in their green screen suits in Santa Barbara. So that's kind of the color we're running with. So if you want to look for it, just look for green.
I love it. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Margaret.
No, thank you. Thank you so much.
It was great talking to you.
Thank you.
Never miss an episode of The Margaret Show. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. The Margaret Show is an Erios production with editing by Melissa Stetton and original score by Garrison Starr.
It's taking over my dreams, waking me out of my sleep. I think I'm coming apart. Coming out of the dark, coming out of the dark, coming out of the dark. Yeah, I'm coming out of the dark.
An Erios original.
powered by Acast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.